The defending champions are in control of their quarter-final tie. Paris Saint-Germain's attacking threats were just too good as they beat Liverpool. Elsewhere, Atletico claimed a huge victory at Barcelona on a night when Julian Alvarez scored an absolute screamer. Let's break down both first leg ties in the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly. Welcome to the show after another dramatic night. I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. And Chris, and I think when we saw that the four teams in action tonight, you just knew the football was going to be of the highest calibre.
Yes, quarter-final stage. It just goes up that notch, doesn't it, in terms of coaching, tactics, quality on the pitch. We saw it all. Two 2-0 victories in the end. Paris, another statement, I think, in their title defence, and for Atleti. First win at Camp Nou in a generation. First win for two decades on the Champions League stage. Phenomenal performance from Diego Simeone's team.
OK, let's get into it, and we'll start in France. Liverpool, the visitors to the Parc des Princes against Paris Saint-Germain. Here's how the match unfolded. Chris was alongside Phil Blacker.
Managed to make a little bit of ground before that. Doué takes over. Oh, it deflects it, loops up under the bar and in. And Paris Saint-Germain make the breakthrough thanks to Désiré Doué. Just looped up over Mamardashvili, underneath his bar and in. Nuno Mendes on the charge for Paris Saint-Germain. He's into the penalty area. Doué in the middle. Mamardashvili saves with his legs. Well, here can Paris Saint-Germain cut back for Dembélé, and it's just over the bar. It's a lovely move. Kvaratskhelia to Nuno Mendes. He picked out Ousmane Dembélé in the middle. Trying to find a way through again. This well-organised Liverpool rear guard, and this could be the way through. It's Kvaratskhelia, and he's still going. He's around the goalkeeper, and he scores the second for Paris Saint-Germain in this first leg.
What a finish. What a brilliant footballer. First of all, the quality of the pass to dissect this tightly compact Liverpool team was excellent, but so was Kvaratskhelia's run, because then he just slaloms past the goalkeeper.
Yes, a brilliant strike and move involving the Georgian up against his international teammate, Giorgi Mamardashvili. He started in goal, of course, because of Alisson's injury. Liverpool played with five at the back. Let's get into it then with Phil. Phil, how did that work for Liverpool in that first half? This kind of use of Frimpong as a right wing back with Mo Salah on the Liverpool bench.
I think we saw enough, Rob, from them to suggest why Arne Slot had opted for that system to try and stifle Paris Saint-Germain away from home in the early stages of the tie. We know what Paris can do when they're afforded the opportunity in attack. It wasn't the perfect first half from Liverpool. There was an element of misfortune about the goal, courtesy of the deflection when they did go behind. But when you do go behind, having set your stall out in the manner that Arne Slot had relatively early in the game, it can psychologically affect things. And I think Liverpool responded well initially to that disappointment. And yes, Paris had further chances in that first half, but Liverpool managed to go in just one behind at the break. So we saw why, I think, Arne Slot went in that direction. It's not something that he normally does. It's a nod, of course, to the quality that they were up against and the respect that they showed the champions. It's not something, I think, that they're going to be able to repeat now in the context of the tie next week, certainly. And even then, with the opportunities that Paris created, they proved that they are capable of overcoming that sort of style. I think however you try and line up against them, they tend to come up with the answers.
Yeah, exactly. Chelsea in the last round tried to go toe-to-toe, and Paris were comfortable winners over the two legs. Liverpool maybe looking at that, thinking, how can we stop them in a different way? But I think it shows the enormous respect now that this Luis Enrique team has after what they did last season, after what they've done again this campaign, that teams like Liverpool, six-time winners themselves, one of the best attacking sides, certainly in England under Arne Slot over the last 18 months, did think, first and foremost, we have to try and stop Paris Saint-Germain. And they weren't quite able to do that. We saw why, I think, that was a smart move, but ultimately Paris with the two goals and the 2-0 win, which I think they were well worthy of, to be honest. And the second goal, I heard in the commentary there, it was a brilliant finish after a brilliant move.
Yeah, we're just watching a replay of it, in fact, on one of our monitors here. Real quality about that one. And there was good work in the build-up to Desiree Dewar's opener on 11 minutes. But I think you made the point in commentary, Chris, that against the low block, maybe the low block of Liverpool, that moment of luck was extremely helpful for Paris Saint-Germain just to get things going.
Yeah, I think if you're playing against a team from a low block, you sometimes, you know, you can hear the crowd get a little bit nervous, you know, if you're having lots of the ball. So I think to score early, credit to Doué, though, who was able with some fleet footwork to create the opportunity. And yes, it then nicked off the back of Virgil van Dijk. He'll say that he absolutely deserved that because of the move and the way that he engineered the space for the shot. Nothing Mamardashvili could do about it. But then, you know, we mentioned in commentary, Liverpool then did stifle Paris pretty well in the first half, and they had a couple of moments themselves at the end of the first half when, you know, had they equalised and gone in at the break, that they would have been very happy. That they weren't able to do that, and that is the other side of this Paris team. Yes, they have some of the most deadly forwards in the world, but every one of them puts in a shift. Kvaratskhelia did a brilliant piece of defending to stop a 1-2, which would have let Liverpool in. Dembele gets back, Doué gets back, all over the pitch. This is a team that celebrate clean sheets as much as they celebrate goals, and you put those two things together and that's why they can be, and maybe this season we're going to see again, pretty unstoppable.
And they did need that side of the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Liverpool, you know, we talked about the selection and the formation. It wasn't an overly defensive display. They came with attacking intent. It's not reflected in the numbers, really, from the game. They didn't have an official shot on target. Only had three goals at goal, only had 30% possession. I think for Liverpool, very nearly a very good performance. And it could have been a result from which they could build at Anfield next week. They're not out of the tie yet because they didn't concede the third goal. Not necessarily that they would have been had they conceded the third goal, given what we've seen at Anfield and Champions League nights. But against this Paris side, realistically, you couldn't see beyond them had that gone in. As it was, they've still given themselves something to work with. But I think what we've seen from Paris is the belief building from what they achieved last season, which is understandable, of course, having come so close so often and finally won it. But it's more than that, I think, now. It's not just belief. There's, I think, a degree of expectation from them when they play that they will score. They will find a way through whoever's in their way. And particularly in this competition, now after what happened last year, that in these sort of games, these knockout ties where they seem to come to the fore and save some of their best performances of the season and get stronger as the season goes on. They expect to win now. That wasn't the case a few years ago.
It certainly felt like that going into the game. From Liverpool's perspective, I suspect, Chris, of course, Onslot won't be happy with the numerous chances that were given up, the fact that Liverpool have come away and lost. But given the context of the game, when you watch it back, 2-0 is not a bad scoreline, you feel, for Liverpool. And we know, of course, just how different things can be when they're back at Anfield for a second leg in this competition.
We saw in the last round when they were beaten 1-0 away at Galatasaray, and I remember the Galatasaray coach speaking about the power of Anfield, particularly on a European night. And yes, it's a cliche, but look at the performances over the last 50 or so years there. And, you know, Paris had a number of moments late on, and actually throughout the second half. Dembele hit the post. They had kind of two one-on-ones at the end of the game that Phil alluded to. If that third goal goes in, that is a huge mountain to climb. But I don't think Liverpool are out of the tie yet. How you chase a game against Paris is the worry for anybody, because now Liverpool have to score and Paris nearly always score. So, you know, that's a conundrum for 6 days' time next Tuesday. But yeah, I think they will feel they are still in the tie, which was perhaps one of the main objective is actually coming into it, which again I think goes back to the strength of this Paris team, and not just what they achieved last season, but everybody now knows that they are playing one of the favourites, if not the favourite, to lift the trophy again. Yes, there's lots of great teams in the quarterfinals, but how do you stop Paris? Do you sit back? Do you go toe-to-toe? I don't think anyone yet has quite worked out how to do it, certainly not over two legs.
Huge for Liverpool, however, tonight, Phil, that Alexander Isak returned.
Yeah, got a few minutes late on, didn't he, off the bench. Just his mere presence, I think, on the bench to start with in the travelling party would have given Liverpool a lift, because it was one of the sagas of the summer, wasn't it, trying to sign him, and because of injuries he hasn't yet been able to show exactly what he's capable of doing. But he is back for the business part of proceedings. He was close, I think, to being involved against Manchester City in the FA Cup quarter-final last weekend. Arne Slot decided to wait a little bit. He gave him a few minutes here. They have another Premier League game against Fulham at the weekend. You would expect he'll get a few more minutes there, and he'll be sharper and readier and match fit for the second leg, potentially, certainly to play a more prolonged part than he did tonight, because in these sort of circumstances in this quarter-final, they will likely need him too. They have so many attacking options now that he's fit again, and Mo Salah didn't feature. He remained on the bench, partly perhaps because of circumstance and the way that Arne Slot set his side up. So if Liverpool can come flying out in the second leg, maybe with Isak from the start, perhaps more likely as a substitute again, but brought on a bit earlier. You know, against most sides in Europe, if they got an early goal, even when 2-0 behind from the first leg, Liverpool would back themselves, and the opposition would think, here we go. But with this Paris team, I'm not quite sure that is their psychology. I think they would be less perturbed than most, shall we say, if that were to be the case.
Chris, let's talk about Kvaratskhelia. And I'm starting to wonder, I mean, his January signing, and obviously it's a bold move to go in the winter window for a big name. But that is a move that Paris Saint-Germain made that paid dividends last season and is paying dividends this season. I mean, he's just one of the most joyous footballers to watch around right now.
He is. There's nothing better than watching a winger, the top of their game, just so direct, so single-minded to run at whatever defender he's up against. And that, you know, he was excellent for the whole of the 93 minutes, but his goal, there didn't look like there was anything on. He was on the ball, just past the halfway line. He instigated the whole move. He laid it off to João Neves, and he knew exactly where he was going to run, towards the left-hand side of the penalty area. João Neves with a nutmeg pass.
Extraordinary pass.
Brilliant ball to dissect Liverpool. But then at that moment, many players, I think, would have shot first time. Many players would have passed, because he could have passed. But he went on one of those kind of famous now slalomed runs, where he went round his international teammate, Giorgi Mamardashvili, and even then there were two players on the line. He could have, in the moment, struck it first time, probably would have scored, but it would have been a harder chance. But he just lifted his head up, all the composure in the world, clarity of thought in that clutch moment, let the Liverpool players run across the line, almost kind of dummied them, and then just slotted and made the finish look ever so easy. It was nothing but. It's a brilliant goal from a player now who scored in the second leg against Monaco, who, you know, scored three goals, did he, over the tie against Chelsea? And now he's done it in the quarterfinals. You are looking at one of the best footballers on the planet.
Let's hear from Liverpool's captain post-match, Virgil van Dijk.
Well, it's what they do, isn't it? So they obviously move around everywhere, basically, and you have to communicate well, you have to follow your man. You have to take risk in that sense as well, sometimes. And wait for the right moment to win the ball and hopefully do them on the counter. And I think we have some opportunities to do that. Didn't do it too well, but hopefully we can be much better, especially in possession at Anfield.
6 days between the first and second leg. What happens for these two teams in the meantime, Phil?
Well, Paris have the weekend off. Their next game is the second leg at Anfield on Tuesday. Liverpool do play. They've got a big one, actually, against Fulham. They're all big for them in the Premier League at the moment. A home game on Saturday in that race to qualify for next season's Champions League. Two opportunities to do it, of course. One through the league, one through potentially winning it this season, which after tonight has got that little bit more difficult. So on the face of it, it's a tougher schedule for Liverpool. They might, though, be grateful of the chance to bounce back in front of their home fans against Fulham to try and restore a little bit of confidence, if required, going into the second leg. But I think we will see rotation in the team. I think they'll have to be from Arne Slot, but as we mentioned, the strength and depth on their bench, they do have those options now. But for Paris, they can put all their full focus into the return, which of course they go into with this position of strength.
Confirmation the UEFA player of the match was Kvaratskhelia Kvaratskhelia. Perhaps no surprise with that one. Still to come, we head to Camp Nou for an all-Spanish last eight tie.
Yes, take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Well, Paris Saint-Germain against Liverpool was one of two quarter-final first-leg ties in the UEFA Champions League. The revamped Camp Nou hosted an all-Spanish Liga encounter as Barcelona took on Atletico Madrid.
Alvarez, I think it will be to have the strike right-footed, otherwise it'd be Griezmann with the left. It's Alvarez, it's around the wall, it's brilliant! And Atletico Madrid lead at Barcelona 1-0 on the stroke of half-time. Barca having just been reduced to 10. It's double jeopardy for them. Ruggeri's cross, saw up 2-0. That's a huge goal in this tie and in the Champions League of 25-26. Superbly finished off.
Well, let's break down the match at Camp Nou, Chris, and the major moments, because Barcelona had been on top that first half. Marcus Rashford, Lamine Yamal disallowed Rashford goal after a wonderful move involving Yamal. The two of them were so threatening right and left wing respectively. And 44 minutes, the moment that really was Barca's undoing on the night.
Yeah, and, you know, a long ball initially looked like a collision, but actually when, you know, VAR took a look at it, Pau Cubarsí with the foul, he was the last man, and therefore had to be sent off, really. And then, you know, as we heard in the commentary there from Jonathan Pearce, what great players do in that moment is, you know, for the opposition at least, compound the moment, and for their team, double down. And it was an exquisite free kick from one of the in-form forwards in the world, no doubt about that. He is elite, and again he showed it this evening. Brilliant goal, and all of a sudden, you know, Atletico doing what they've always done under Diego Simeone. When it's tough, they stick in. And against some of the best attackers on the planet, you know, defended very well when they needed to. Goalkeeper made some saves, and then given that opportunity, took it. And it changed the complexion of the night. But still, I think, you know, what they did in the second half as well was equally as impressive to get that 2-0 win. Rob, first victory since 2006.
That is extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah.
Now, they did win away at Barcelona when they were refurbishing the stadium, playing down the road, but therefore Diego Simeone's done everything at Atletico. But win this tournament, which he came very close to twice, and he might yet win in 2026. But that another moment that I'm sure, maybe not tonight, but someone will tell him. And he's probably one of those guys who knows the stats as well, and, you know, thinking, okay.
He'll know he's never won.
He'll know, and he has now. And again, he's masterminded a performance that has put Atletico into a very strong position.
Yeah, the second goal was superb as well. Left-back Matteo Ruggeri getting forward, got to the byline, low cross. Alexander Sørloth, who hadn't been on the pitch long, diverting the ball in and encouraging as well for Atletico. In a period of time, in the last few days, Antoine Griezmann confirming he'll be leaving the club. He's off to MLS in the United States, a former Barcelona player too. And we saw Diego Simeone take the time to start the press conference yesterday with a long soliloquy about what a great player and person Griezmann is. You can see there's a real future to this Atletico team beyond Antoine Griezmann's legacy.
Yeah, and I think the fact he was put up for interview alongside the coach, though, shows an awful lot about, yeah, it's sometimes sad in modern day football, players leave in a window, or they leave and it, you know, that they're not able to get that goodbye that their service sometimes deserves. And actually, I think you could see there that this was a mutual decision from everybody. And actually now it's about giving Antoine Griezmann the send-off he deserves, maybe to win the Champions League at a club that he's given so much to. He was excellent. They all were. And this is an Atletico team who have knocked Barcelona out of the cup, having won 4-0 at home, by the way, in the first leg. They lost 3-0 at Camp Nou. So they will be very confident tonight. Not overconfident, because they'll know that Barcelona at 2-0 down aren't out of it. But that really, if you'd offered them this morning a 2-0 win away, that's pretty much a dream result and performance.
Antoine Griezmann's actually been doing some post-match. And on that, Chris, fittingly, he said, the semi-final is a long way off. 90 minutes or more. We'll stay calm, confident, and we'll keep our feet on the ground. I suppose the encouraging thing for Barcelona is that in context, They had to play most of the match of the 10 men, and they still fashioned a host of opportunities. Marcus Rashford could have had a hat-trick on the day. And Kubasi will miss the second leg, of course. But Barcelona have just beaten them in the league as well, away from home. They know they can win at the Metropolitano.
Yeah, I think that's set up for a huge second leg, to be honest with you. Barcelona under Hansi Flick will attack. I think they will know that they have the ability to score two goals for sure. I think it's, as you know, Antoine Griezmann knows a lot more about football than I do. And I think he's absolutely right. And it's going to be a serious atmosphere there, and a great game. And I love the fact it's only 6 days between these fixtures, or 8 days for those that played on Tuesday and then Wednesday. You get that kind of
it's
almost
pretty intense, isn't it?
It's intense. And these two played each other the weekend. This will be the sixth meeting next week this season. So there's just those individual battles that players will have built up. It's going to be one of those nights at the Metropolitano, and you know both teams will still fancy they can make the semi-finals, but Atletico, you have to say, certainly favourites now.
Yeah, and it'll be a third meeting in 11 days for the teams. Let's talk about one of the goal scorers then. Julian Alvarez scored his ninth Champions League goal of the season, the outright most by an Atleti player in a single campaign, surpassing Diego Costa's 8 en route to the final in 2014. Alvarez was player of the match as well, and it really feels like now, Chris, he's entered that category of player amongst the very best, because it feels like, and cover the Champions League tie against Spurs, every round in this competition he's the player having the biggest impact.
Yeah, and I think on international level as now, he is very much the guy in Argentina who, whenever Leo Messi does decide that, you know, perhaps
enough is enough,
whenever that is, that actually it is now Julian Alvarez who kind of takes that mantra as, you know, that their next global superstar. He's played for huge clubs from the off, River Plate, absolute institution. He scored goals wherever he's been, you know, Atleti club record signing. And you can see why. He, in big moments, comes up with the type of goals that the great forwards do. And perhaps fitting. I think Fernando Torres scored a couple of goals the last time they did win at Camp Nou in 2006. I'm not going to say Julian Alvarez will go down as such a legendary figure at Atletico as Torres, but he's on his way, and he's certainly a guy that you want in your team for these big, big Champions League nights.
16 goals in 22 Champions League games now for Atletico. Julian Alvarez amongst the scorers again. By the way, in the league at the weekend, both Barcelona and Atletico in action in the Spanish Liga. Barcelona, local rivalry, they take on Espanyol at home on Saturday, and then in the later kickoff, Atletico have a game away at Sevilla. Chris, how do you see this tie going? I saw Barcelona come back against Inter in the semi-finals last season in such amazing fashion before eventually succumbing in extra time. I really believe Barcelona is still very much in this tie.
I would agree. I think the opening 10 minutes in the atmosphere that Diego Simeone will help create and the Atleti supporters will create, that'll be one of the loudest stadiums anywhere in Europe this season. And I think who can keep their composure actually amid that pressure, that cauldron of noise early on, might go a long way to deciding who ultimately makes the semi-finals. I genuinely looking forward to that second leg, maybe the most of all of the four quarterfinals we've seen this week. It's going to be great.
By the way, I'm just warning Chris and Phil Black, who's still with us, I'm going to ask for your semi-final lineups before the end of the show, who you think is playing who in the semi-finals, with the second legs on the way next week. Chris has just...
How long do we have?
About 2 minutes.
Okay.
You've got to work on it. While you do that, let's hear from Liverpool boss Arne Slot.
Incredible tempo and pace all over the place. I think you could see that we've tried many times to press them high, and a few times that was working, but a lot of times also then they were able to play through us. So when we went man-to-man, especially in the first half, two or three times they played the ball in behind and run off us, and I think that happened in the second half a few times as well. So maybe when we were in a low block, we have hardly conceded, although the first goal was, of course, when we were in a low block. And there were a few times players of us in promising positions. I think Hugo had a few times a moment where he was one-on-one with Marquinhos, but yeah, that's also their quality. They just keep going, and then as a number nine or Hugo, whoever it is, he's probably a bit tired the moment when he has to show up, and that's also part of their quality. But I stood here similar last season, although we won 1-0, but the game was exactly the same. And the game at Anfield was completely different, so we're happy that we're still in this tie.
Seemed like a pretty honest assessment from Arne Slot, and you did feel there were those moments where Katike could have maybe just got a shot away and tested the goalkeeper. But can they turn it around as dramatically in terms of performance as we saw in the round of 16 last year, despite Liverpool's eventual elimination? Let's go back to Barcelona briefly and hear from Atletico goalscorer Alexander Serlot, who admits he loves playing against Barcelona.
Yes, it is, especially here in Barcelona. I don't know what it is. I have some cities where I feel really, really good coming here. I spoke about it before. I don't know if it's something in the air, it's the hotel, it's the city, I don't know, but I have a good feeling and I feel dangerous when I step on the ground.
Yes, he scored there last season, he scored there this season. He has a good record against Barcelona, not only for Atletico, but previously as well. So with that tie in mind, and with all four of our quarterfinal first legs done, a reminder, of course, that Sporting lost 1-0 to Arsenal. Bayern went to Real Madrid and won by 2-1. Paris Saint-Germain 2 up on Liverpool, and Atletico 2 up on Barcelona, going back to Madrid. Chris and Phil, I want your semi-final fixtures and a little bit of reasoning as well. Phil, you can go first here.
I think from what I've seen of Paris tonight and in the competition, although you would never back against Liverpool at Anfield, I think Paris will have too much. I think Bayern were brilliant and have been. I think potentially they've been the two best teams actually thus far. So I think they will meet in the semi-finals. I'll go further and say the winner of the whole thing comes from that semi-final.
Oh, okay.
Didn't ask for that.
Arsenal, I think, will see the job through against Sporting. There's usually a surprise somewhere, isn't there? Which could still be Barcelona at Atleti. So I'm a little bit on the fence on that one. I'm going to say Barcelona, Arsenal in the other side.
That's what I feel. That's exactly what I had. I had Paris Saint-Germain against Bayern, and I've got a feeling about Barcelona, given the frequency with which they create chances as well on the night, that they can turn that around and will play Arsenal. Chris, you have something different?
Well, I looked at it and I thought, there's normally a comeback in the Champions League, in the quarterfinals and the semi-finals. So I looked at the four games. To be honest, initially I thought I can't see one, but I thought I have to go for one because of that reason. But
listen to this logic.
I have gone for Arsenal, particularly at home, seeing the job through against Sporting. I think Atletico will have enough with the two-goal advantage, so I think that could be a semi-final, Arsenal-Atletico. I think Paris were outstanding, and despite Anfield and that aura, will have enough. And I wonder whether Real Madrid, with the quality they have with Mbappe, Vinicius Junior, etc., they might go to Bayern. Maybe they win by one goal on the night, maybe go through on penalties, and therefore that semi-final might be Paris against Real Madrid.
Oh, I like it very much. Okay, Phil, Chris, thank you very much for your company after another dramatic night in the UEFA Champions League. We'll hold those two to account, by the way, once we know the semi-final lineup. A reminder how things finished in the end. It finished Barcelona 0, Atletico 2, and Paris Saint-Germain 2, Liverpool 0. That's all we've got time for after another dramatic Champions League night. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 Central European Summer Time next Tuesday. That's the 14th of April for the second legs of tonight's quarter-final ties. Make sure you join us on the Champions League website and app for that. And a reminder, you can download the podcast after every single match night of this season's UEFA Champions League campaign. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.